Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. And with me in the studio, once again, shark researcher Chuck Bangley, and with us by phone, the director of the Florida Program for Shark Research and the International Shark Attack File, George Burgess. If you'd like to ask a question of our experts, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. And we have Bud from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was wondering about the commercial fishing, the impact. North Carolina allows commercial fishing up close to shore, and the food supply for the sharks. Is that a factor in that they may attack because they're not able to get enough food?
That's a great question. Chuck Bangley.
Yeah, certainly the sharks will follow around sources of food, and you'll see sharks actually you'll see groups of particularly blacktip sharks, but sometimes bulls or other large species will be mixed in there. But they'll follow around the shrimp trawlers and wait for the shrimp trawlers to basically unload their bycatch. As far as prey species availability, it really depends on the species you're talking about. Some of their prey species are doing better than others. The most recent stock assessment for menhaden, for example, which is a bait fish that just about everything in the ocean eats. And it's also a very important source of food for a lot of our shark species here. That was recently assessed as not being overfished. But then there are other species that, have been demonstrably in decline. And we have other things like sea turtles that are food for some of the larger shark species that have some of those sea turtle species are actually showing signs of recovery from previous declines. So it really depends on what prey species you're looking for, but most of our sharks here are generalists, so they can usually switch to whatever is the most common prey available.
Bud, thanks so much for your call. Governor McCrory, just before the holiday weekend got underway, he announced his intention to look for patterns among these 8 incidents that we've seen during this season. And this is what he said.
There doesn't seem to be any one specific spot where it's happening. I do believe that each local beach has its own unique circumstances. I am going to be talking with my Secretary of Public Safety to see if there is any one-fit-all approach to dealing with this issue. I doubt there is because each circumstance is so different. I have talked to several state legislators where the initial bites occurred, where to talk about potential local restrictions, where they might be, for example, dumping off potential feed for sharks, which bring sharks in and around areas where there is people swimming, especially during high tourism season during the summertime. And I think that has to be considered. But again, it might be more of each local responsibility to make that decision. But I am reviewing also with our public safety personnel to make sure that we have the personnel in place to respond to any potential emergency or action that has to be taken.
And that audio comes to us courtesy of ABC News in Durham. We asked for further information about Governor McCrory's plan, and at this point, the Department of Public Safety said North Carolina Emergency Management has been tracking the large number of shark attacks along the coast in its capacity as a coordinator of statewide emergency-related assets and a leader of the state emergency response team. They stand prepared to respond for potential requests by counties for resources and assistance. So it sounds like that may still be in the development stage in terms of response. But what about what McCrory has said and what Bud had started to raise? He asked about commercial fishing. But what about the fishermen, fisher people who stand on piers and dump bait into the water or dump guts? You know, they clean their fish on the piers and essentially chum the waters. Is that an issue that should be paid closer attention to?
You certainly want to. I mean, the fishing piers have been there for a long time. Some of these fishing piers have been there for decades, and in some cases there's been a pier on that site for over a century. So that's certainly enough time for the local sharks to figure out that this is a place to get a good cheap meal. At the same time, because those piers have been there for so long, it's hard to pin just the increased number of shark bites on those. But certainly if you're out there swimming, you want to steer well away from these fishing piers. I go out there and fish on them sometimes, and there's definitely a population of sharks at each one that hangs out near the cleaning station where people fillet their fish and throw the remains overboard. And some of these sharks can be fairly large. I did see an 8-foot shark at one of them one time.
And what kind of shark might that have been?
That actually, it looked like a dusky when I saw it. And then a week later, somebody fishing from the shore pulled it in and tagged it and released it. And that's actually relatively unusual for an adult dusky shark to be that close to shore. So clearly it had acclimated to this this kind of easy food source. But at the same time, I've also been out fishing at a pier and watched a surfer literally check off all the boxes to lead to a shark bite and not get hit. He was in there surfing next to the pier. These piers do create surf breaks that surfers enjoy. He was surfing next to the pier as the sun was going down near the bay cleaning station. There were actually black-tip sharks near him. You could see the fins come up. And so he was just about doing everything he could to get bitten and paddled back into shore completely unscathed. I was actually genuinely worried about this kid, but he made it out.
George Burgess, do you think having fishermen dumping guts off a pier is a public safety issue if there are swimmers nearby? Is that something that should be addressed by public policy?
I think it needs to be addressed by public policy, but with the full understanding that the ocean along shorelines are multi-use facilities, and there's good arguments to be made that there's multiple user groups that want access to that. I mean, you don't want people surfing in the middle of a bunch of kids in the surf. So, you know, the surfers need to move over to a place where they're independent of the waders and the bathers. The fishermen need to do the same. And so I think the point is that the communities are going to have to make some fishing zones versus some bathing zones, and there's going to have to be some sort of a demilitarized zone between the two groups to keep them apart, and then we can, you know, reduce the chances of attracted sharks to the fishing facilities wandering into the other areas. All that said, that requires on-beach personnel, and so one of the things that has struck me as a former resident of North Carolina a long time ago, 40 years ago, and what I have seen in recent years is that there's not a lot of lifeguards on the beaches. And as North Carolina has grown as a tourist destination or a holiday destination, obviously there's been an economic upturn to the local communities because of those people coming in. I think now is the time that those communities are going to have to start putting some of that tourist money back into infrastructure and personnel, and that means they're going to have to start getting some beach safety personnel, lifeguards on the beaches.
Okay, we have a few more calls coming in. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about sharks with shark experts George Burgess and Chuck Bangley. And Michael from Sunset Beach, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Know, about 3 weeks before all the shark attacks or shark bites happened, we were on the beach in Sunset Beach, and my friend was coming. He was riding a wave in, and two sharks were beside him riding the same wave. And he said that they didn't do anything; they just were riding the wave like he was. And then he, of course, came in horrified, and he said they were about 4 feet. And anyway, there were hundreds of people in the water, and I didn't know what to do. So what we did is we called 911. We met the police on the pier, on the Sunset Beach pier. And as I was kind of telling the cop about the sharks, a fisherman there who fished regularly said that there are thousands of sharks in the waters around here in May and June, and that they're non-aggressive sharks. And he says they're from the pier. You can see them brush up against people and swim by them, and the people have no idea that they're there. He said, but they're there regularly, and there's also stingrays in the water, which I actually saw the following week. And I was just wondering whether, in fact, that was true, because I was pretty horrified when he said that there's thousands, and I knew nothing about it.
And this is something that I've heard, too. George Burgess, Chuck Bangley, is it true that were we to fly over in a helicopter, what would we see?
If the water was...
You see sharks every day, as a matter of fact, and you could go out right at this very moment on beaches from North Carolina down to Florida, and you'll see sharks swimming in and among the beach users. Talk to anybody who pulls one of those suntan lotion signs or bar signs up and down the beach, and they'll tell you they see this all the time. I'll tell you a story. One time I took some media folks up to see just that. They wanted some video here in North Carolina, in Florida, and I was telling them, you know, look down there, and sure enough, there's the sharks, and they were videoing it. And as we went low in this helicopter, some of the surfers there, being young and as they might be in the surfer community, felt obliged to give us the single finger salute from down below. And as they were doing their single finger salute to the helicopter, a tiger shark about 10 feet in size was swimming inside of them closer to the beach. And the video guys got the picture of both happening. So they had no idea that there was a big tiger shark there. The fact of the matter is most sharks are not interested in human beings as food. The black tips and spinners, which are so common in the surf zone in the Carolinas, are fish-eating sharks. The humans aren't on the menu. We're not part of the food chain. And so we all have encounters with them. We've all been within 10 feet of a shark at some time in our life without knowing it. That's par for the course. And, of course, the more fishes there are in the water, more schooling fishes, the more sharks there are going to be. And, of course, during those time periods, that's when some of these mistaken identity attacks can occur, where a black tip might grab at a splash thinking it's a food fish and it's your foot. And we call these hit-and-run attacks. They're quick grabs and let goes. No Jaws themes music in the background. They disappear, and it results in either puncture wounds or small lacerations, and these are properly called shark bites because the injuries are not so severe. But unfortunately, we have some bigger ones as well.
And let's talk to Michael from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I believe one of the guys that was attacked last week was right in front of the lifeguard stand.
And that would have been off Ocracoke, I think.
That's correct. Is it possible, I've heard somebody mention this outside of your show, to the beach patrols to have these drones that can fly up and down the beach, and at least when you got a really crowded beach season, you can get the people out of the water when one's close. But would that be an option as opposed to a helicopter, I suppose?
That's an interesting question, Michael. Thanks for your call. Chuck Bangley, as George just explained, there are these sharks that are around us all the time. So if a drone was flying up and down the beach, is there a way to do that without generating constant hysteria?
They've actually been testing that out on the West Coast, looking for white sharks off of the surf beaches there. The tough call here on the East Coast, where we have so many of these smaller blacktip and spinner sharks, is kind of differentiating when it's worth warning the people in the water and when it's just going to be a shark that's just going to cruise by. And 99.9% of the time, even the very large aggressive sharks have no interest in people and they're just going to swim on by. So the drones are definitely useful for getting an idea of how many sharks are there in the area. You probably have to have somebody on hand to make the call whether or not it's worth pulling people out of the water.
We had a question. We lost Wes from Wilmington, but he left a question based on this pattern of bites. Could this be the same shark, George Burgess? Do you think that's likely?
Yeah, that's always the question in these things when you have attacks occurring in the same geographic region over a short period of time. And had you asked that question, 5 years ago to me, I would have said, you know, almost surely no. But we investigated a shark situation in Egypt a few years ago where we could definitively tie two or three bites to the same shark. And so we know it does happen. In my 40 years of study of shark attack, I've only seen two occasions where I think that a single shark might have been involved in multiple bites. And then, of course, was aware of a third one, the famous series of attacks in 1916 off of the New Jersey coast, which appeared to be the result of a single white shark. But other than that, most of the times this is more likely pinned on a variety of individuals that just happen to be in the area at the same time.
Okay, we have an email. Robert writes, are sharks attracted to urine and feces? And George Burgess, you actually said earlier that sharks are attracted to every human fluid that could come out of just about any part of the human body. So that would be a yes, right?
I think that's a, pretty much a yes. You know, we haven't done tests, and, you know, we talked earlier about menstruating women. Well, I haven't got any volunteers that have, you know, stepped forward to say, I'm going to walk out in the water and we'll do good statistical tests on this. But, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that the shark brain, which is pretty big, but most of the brain is dedicated to senses. And the biggest lobe of the brain is the olfactory lobe, one that goes for smell and taste. So that's what they do particularly well. And so no doubt they can sense anything that's coming out of any orifice.
Okay. And quickly, we just have about a minute and a half left. If your immediate family was staying at the North Carolina beach this summer, what would you tell them, Chuck Bangley?
I tell them steer clear of the piers and other fishing activity. Fishing activity, it puts bait in the water, and it also creates struggling fish on the end of the lines, and those are both attractive to sharks. Also, keep an eye out for shark food. Look for large schools of fish moving up and down the beach. You can recognize them as kind of a dark mass when it's clear or ripples in the water. And if there are birds diving on those schools of fish, steer clear of it, because that means something's hitting those fish from below and you don't want to find out if it's a shark.
George Burgess, quick, your final thought.
Yeah, I have no problem going into North Carolina waters with the consideration, of course, that at certain places and certain times, if shark attacks have occurred, you know, we want to be extra vigilant. And so, yeah, that would be my thoughts.
That's this edition of Coastline. Thanks to our guests, George Burgess and Chuck Bangley. Thanks to you, our listeners, and those of you who emailed and tweeted your comments. Coastline is produced by Isabel Shepherd. Our technical director is Ken Campbell. Our web wizard is Melissa Stone. If you missed this show, we'll post it on our website, whqr.org, later today. And you can download the podcast from iTunes. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.